at 5:30 p.m. on a Wednesday evening, talking now with Gloucester Fire Chief Eric Smith, who is at Poles Hill. In Gloucester, a big brush fire continuing, a couple of days now. Chief, hello, how are you, and what the hell is going on?
I'm good, thanks, I appreciate it. We're still working away at this thing, you know. Our folks are pretty beat up from beginning after this for, you know, 72 hours pretty much, and we're getting a lot of help right now from state forestry, as we have been throughout this event since Monday, and they reached out with their resources and took advantage of an opportunity with the Air National Guard, who was doing training on water drops with one of their big Blackhawks, and so they said, hey, how about instead of doing training drops, you do the real thing, and here they are. So they've been here. They did about 2 hours worth of drops, and they went to Beverly to refuel. They're going to be on their way back here shortly, and we'll get another 2 hours out of them or so. Thus far, it seems to be, you know, doing what we had hoped it would do. It's putting a lot more water in spots where we need it, you know, quicker, which is kind of the goal, and we want to kind of bring this thing to an end. So it's unfortunately, when I say end, that's kind of relative. It's pretty deep-seated fire,
mm-hmm.
and I would imagine that we will continue to have, you know, spot flare-ups and issues for, you know, for some time. It's still hot, and until we get some long-duration soaking rain, this is likely going to continue. These things get in the ground, they get in the peat, they get in the root base, and it's just a problem. And you know, it's at this point, you know, there's not really a threat to the homes as there was on the first day on Monday, and spotty threats, if you will, to homes on Tuesday and Wednesday, when some of these things would pop up and we would just not be, you know, in that position, because we'd been working on the last one, kind of chasing them around as they come up. So, you know, this is just the nature of forest fires, brush fires. And so we're just working to keep up with it.
Well, it's great having the National Guard involved. I know when I was in the National Guard, we'd much rather help locals on active duty than go do other things. So it's great that you were able, or it was, you know, it came about that they were able to help you out. Chief, in terms of the size of what you're dealing with right now, how big is the geographical area?
So we, you know, initially the first day we were estimating at about 9 or 10, you know, if you will, 9 or 10 acres of actual burnt area, and we're probably much closer to 20.
Oh my!
At this point with the amount of flare-ups and extension, and part of that is that, you know, the intensity of where the fires have been and where they're trying to get to, you just can't get the water or the manpower in place to stop that. So we've made strategic fire breaks with the assistance of the state forestry. They've been phenomenal up here and kind of leading the way. This is really their expertise, and so we take all the advice mm-hmm. and free labor and help that we can get out of them, now to include a chopper that they've set up for us. Dave Cellino at the state level office has been phenomenal. Andy Regan, who is our Essex County Warden, him and his crew of six have done the work of 12. They do a great job, and our folks for the, you know, the amount of brush fire experience that we have and that we get, they're typically much smaller jobs than this, right?
Right, right.
Our folks have stepped up and leaned right into this one and done a great job as well. It's exhausting work, and they're getting beat up.
Well, especially with the heat. And you've said since you came to Gloucester on day one, Chief, about the extensive forestry that there is in Gloucester, so many acres of dead leaves and forest and so on. So that this is I hate to say it, but you kind of predicted this like 7-8 years ago.
Well, yeah, and that's, you know, that's not just here, that's the country. I mean, mm-hmm. It doesn't take anybody that's a rocket scientist, so to speak, not to say that they're not wicked smart, because they are, but, you know, it doesn't require that. You know, the average non-fire savvy, really, person can take a walk through the woods and look around and go, wow, there's a lot of stuff mm-hmm. on the ground that can burn, and if it gets going, that's a big fire, and so that's what we're experiencing.
Two more quick questions.
The undergrowth and brush is just tinder to get the bigger stuff going,
mm-hmm.
and you know, over time this it builds up, and this is what we experience, unfortunately.
Two more quick questions, Chief, because I know how busy you are late in the evening here. Can seawater be used?
No, not really. So, I mean, if for whatever reason, that was the easier access point, we may choose to do that, but that's not really the optimal thing to use. You know, to start with, seawater, all that salt water and the salinity of it
mm-hmm.
is not very nice to plants and trees and whatnot. And while we're not happy with you know, the overgrowth here, it's not our intent or our place to really, you know, introduce something that's going to cause kind of that ecological impact. Our job is to stop.
Understood.
Impact and get in and get out.
And finally, Chief,
at the same time, that water is much more difficult to get, and it is mm-hmm. absolutely, you know, a problem on our equipment.
Of course, yeah.
I mean,
that makes sense.
So especially the equipment that the Air National Guard brought, that there's, you know, a lot of metal to that thing, and introducing salt in it, it becomes a huge decontamination issue. They got to drag that basket inside the chopper. So now you got salt water rolling around on the deck inside their bird, and it's not something that they're willing to do when there is a freshwater supply. We have that available.
Mm-hmm.
We cleared that and went through our engineering department, the mayor's office, to make sure everybody's on board. So, you know, that was all cleared, good to go. I mean, I know we're in the water crisis, but frankly, this is the best application of that water, and it will save water versus wasting it. And seawater is just not a viable option.
Yeah, and save equipment, too. Thank you for pointing that out, Chief. I got some questions on that, and I said I would ask. Finally, last thing, Chief, I saw you on, I think it was Channel 5 yesterday or the day before, and the fact that this whole thing might have been prevented if people weren't so careless.
Yeah, and I think some of it goes beyond careless, even to reckless. I mean, it's an investigation thing, and the police and those with the training to do that will handle it. The potential for folks doing things up there that they know they shouldn't be doing,
mm-hmm.
And even very reckless things that create fires and then take off and don't say anything. And isn't that funny? It's like, no, it's not funny.
No.
It's really expensive to the community, number one. But beyond that, it's a risk to everybody that lives here.
You Absolutely.
Know, if we didn't have as good a firefighters and the staffing levels that this community has committed to and that the administrations have repeatedly committed to, which is expensive, really expensive for this town. We all pay a lot in tax dollars, and we do so in order to have these public safety things in place. And it's, you know, I'm going above and beyond what is already the routine expenses. I mean, I'm pouring out a lot of overtime money to bring people back and work off hours. I can't leave the stations empty because who's going to respond to the next call? So, you know, people say, well, how about mutual aid? It's like, well, when I call the neighbors for mutual aid, they replace the people I took from their stations
mm-hmm.
with overtime. So, it's not appropriate, nor is it really allowed in the scheme of mutual aid to really supplement your department with others in that fashion.
All right.
Yes, we do have an emergency going, but it's not life threatening. We have to be careful in how we manage it. Certainly, it could be life threatening, but we're doing all we can to keep it from being that. And so the options of how to deal with it from an administrative fiscal point play into this as much as we have to get it done. And so we're definitely getting it done, and we've committed the resources and folks to it, but it's not easy on our people, unfortunately, nor the city's budget.
Thank you, Chief, for the update and all the information. Good luck to you and your men, and again, thank you so much for taking care of us. We appreciate it.
And our women. And I know it's an old habit. And we all.
I'm sorry. Yep.
To point it out.
No, thank you.
No, sorry. The ladies get it, but I always want to make sure they get credit. They've been doing some serious work.
I should know better. I should know better. Thank you, Chief.
No worries.
All right, take care.
Take care.
All right, bye-bye. That is Gloucester Fire Chief Eric Smith. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore.